A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought fulfillment when he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Answer me, O my just God, you who relieve me when I am in distress. Have pity on me and hear my prayer.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
Know that the Lord does wonders for his faithful one. The Lord will hear me when I call upon him.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
O Lord, let the light of your countenance shine upon us. You put gladness into my heart.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
As soon as I lie down, I fall peacefully to sleep. For you alone, O Lord, bring security to my dwelling.
Lord, let your face shine on us.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we make sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There was kind of a strange item in the news this week. I don't know if you caught it. There was a truck in Oregon loaded with 100,000 salmon for a restocking project up there, slid off the highway, rolled down an embankment. 25,000 salmon were killed. The other 75,000 salmon survived miraculously when they kept sliding right on down the embankment into the river below. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Have you ever had somebody tell you a story like that that seems too incredible to believe, and they follow it up with, "You can't make this stuff up, folks"? Happens a lot. We're always amazed by stories like that, and we hear them time and time again, and we're astounded that these things that seem so outlandish turn out to be true. Well, in those first days after Christ's resurrection, the apostles and the disciples had that same mindset. Things were happening that just seemed too good to be true. But they were. And as people of faith, we today are called to believe in the truth of what has been handed down to us from the apostles, those people who were chosen by our Lord specifically to be the witnesses to his message, to pass it on to us. Now, today's gospel may sound like it starts a little strange to you. Two disciples were recounting, and you go, "What? It sounds like we're jumping in the middle of the story." Well, we kind of are. Okay, the last couple of weeks we've been reading from John's gospel. Today we're back in Luke. And he's picking it up where you might remember the story of the two disciples who were on the road to Emmaus. They had an amazing encounter. So here this part starts with them telling the apostles gathered in the upper room what happened. They say, "You know, here we are walking along the road, and this guy comes up to us. Turns out it was Jesus, but we didn't know it was Jesus. And he starts talking to us and explaining the scriptures to us. So we invite him to, you know, stay with us for dinner. And all of a sudden, in the breaking of the bread, we realize that was Jesus." So while the apostles and the other disciples who were gathered there are pondering over this, saying, "Man, this seems too good to be true," all of a sudden, who's there? Jesus himself, in spite of the locked doors, the closed windows and everything. And these guys are terrified. They are afraid. They're seeing a ghost. They don't know what's going on. Jesus says, "Calm down. Calm down. Peace. Peace. I'm really here. It's really me. Come on. Touch me. Feel me. Know that I'm real. And they do. They touch him. And they see him. And they listen to him. And then they watch him eat a little piece of fish. And they are deliriously happy beyond belief. They can hardly believe what's happening right before their eyes. Here he is. Now, Jesus then goes through those scriptures again, just like he did with the two guys on Emmaus. And he says, all these things were about me, and they had to happen. And I told you this before, but I just want to remind you about it once again. You know, the early first century church met with a lot of resistance to the gospel story. There were a lot of naysayers, people who wanted to, you know, shoot it down. And so the people who wrote the New Testament, the guys who eventually, you know, wrote down the gospel many years after Jesus' resurrection, or the letters, the epistles that we read on Sunday were written, they went to great pains to shoot down these arguments. You know, people would say, you know, there's a bunch of women going into this cemetery. They went to the wrong tomb. It was empty. Not so, say our gospel writers. Joseph of Arimathea, a very prominent man and well known in his day, he knew where it was. He provided the tomb. Mary Magdalene knew where it was, and as one of the gospel calls her, the other Mary, and several other women, they knew where it was. They went to the right tomb. Okay, but yeah, you know what? Someone had stolen the body. No, gospel writers say, there were guards there. There were guards there. Yeah, but you know, those guys fell asleep. I mean, they admit it. They fell asleep. Somebody stole the body. No, say the gospel writers. They were paid to say that. Isn't it funny that they were never prosecuted? They were never disciplined for falling asleep on the job? No. Okay. But you know, it's really convenient that after the resurrection, the only people he appeared to are a few of his hand-picked close associates. No, says St. Paul. He appeared to 500 people, 500 witnesses. Now, in the law of the day, you only needed two witnesses to agree on anything for it to be true. And here's 500. So they wanted people to know that this really, really happened. And so the church grew, partly due to the bold proclamations that people like Peter made in our first reading today, which, by the way, was the Pentecost Sunday, when he went out, spoke, and converted 3,000 people. But the thing that impressed so many people about those early Christians was that those Christians were willing to die at the hand of the state rather than renounce their faith. Isn't that amazing? Could we say the same today about ourselves? Why does it seem like we're so ready to believe in space aliens or the most recent conspiracy theory rather than to boldly proclaim our unwavering faith in Jesus Christ? You know, Edith Stein, don't know who I'm talking about, Edith Stein. She's a 20th century martyr. She died in the gas chambers at Birkenau. We know her as Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. That was her name as a nun. Edith Stein was her name before she became a nun. A very, very intellectual woman. She called faith an act of the intellect rather than of emotion. An act of the intellect rather than emotion. So can we make that same act of the intellect today and choose that? Can we open our minds to listen to the scriptures, to ponder the gospels, and then to fall on our knees like doubting Thomas and say, my Lord and my God? Can we, like the two on the road to Emmaus, recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread, the Eucharist? Or are we simply too amazed at the seemingly fantastical nature of the story? No. The good news of Jesus Christ is not a made-up story. He did rise from the dead. He did ascend into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us, to dole out his mercy on all of us sinners. You can't make this stuff up, folks. God love you.